The text on which the teaching is based this morning is in Galatians. We're going back a little bit in Galatians from where we have been. We'll finish up the series next week, the last message in the exposition. But I wanted to go back and hit another text again and focus on a certain aspect of it before we keep going in Galatians. So it's Galatians 5. Verses 13 to 16. So if you have a Bible, you can find that text. If you don't have a Bible, grab one, steal one from somebody, do everything you can to grab a Bible, and so you can read this too. We've got some Bibles in those wooden pockets behind the pews and such. So, all right, let me ask for God's help before we look at His Word together. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it's true. We thank You that You speak to us through it. And I pray that You would just help us as we hear Your Word today to receive it from You. Help us to hear what You have to say to us. I pray that You would do Your work of changing us, to making us more like Jesus, convicting us where we need that, encouraging us where we need that, unifying us around Jesus. Help us today. So we just ask for Your help, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What I want to talk about today is how in the church we can talk about very sensitive topics, especially how we talk about race and ethnicity. And this is a very sensitive topic in America today, as you know, given the history of the United States of America, right? Given the reality that we're a cultural melting pot / salad bowl, or however you want to describe it, where people from all different places and cultures and ethnicities have come together and bump up against each other and attempt to get along and often misunderstand each other, but still are getting through it. And then also, given just the historical reality of slavery and racism and prejudice and discrimination and all of that is real. And you know, you think that we're past that, but then something happens and you realize we're not, right? I don't have to like go into all, I thought of all the examples I could give you from the news, but you know about it, so I don't have to like go into a bunch of details. But it can be a sensitive issue, right? Something sensitive to talk about. And it's not just a sensitive issue out there in the world, but it's also a sensitive issue in the church, right? Especially since a big thing of what Jesus is doing in the church is bringing together different people, different races and ethnicities and cultures, and bringing them together and saying, you've got to love each other. and we're figuring out how to do that. And you guys understand, you know, why this is needed. And I know your hearts. And what you want for this church, and that you're on board with this. And I'm not going to say anything I'm not going to say anything that you don't know and that you don't believe already. What we're going to talk about today is not difficult to understand. It's not even difficult to believe, really. What's difficult about it is living it out. A lot of times that's what's true about the scriptures. It's not that we don't get it, it's that we have trouble just practicing it, which that's the difficult part. And so I know your hearts, and I know that you and I, like, we want our relationships in the fellowship to be good and positive and encouraging, and for us to reach out across differences and encourage each other and break down boundaries and build each other up. And I also know your heart that you want Calvary Chapel to be a church where everybody feels welcome, right? No matter who you are, you feel welcome in Calvary Chapel. There's the package store across the street, and on Friday nights, a lot of times, especially in the summertime, it actually happened this when the weather's good, and it happened like last Friday night. There's some like young people that will go like after work on Fridays and get their beers, and they stand in the parking lot and they have a little get together, and they play music from their car stereos, and they kind of blow off some steam before whatever they're going to do on a Friday night, and I hear their music because I live right here. And do you know what kind of music it is? I'll give you a hint. It ain't country. They're playing their bachata. They're playing their merengue. Some of you guys, you don't know what that is? Well, hang on. You're going to know. It's coming to Canterbury. All right? And it's beautiful. And I know that your heart, and your heart is that if those kids decide they want to come to church on a Sunday, and they decide to come to Calvary Chapel, that they wouldn't like look around and listen to the words that we speak to each other and say, "Oh, this isn't the church for me. I'm going to go to Norwich to go to church." That's not your heart. Your heart is that they would look around and hear the words that we speak and say, "Hey, I could go to church here," right? It's all right. Like a couple years ago, when my kids started playing basketball, I was just like amazed because. When I first moved here, I saw like the census report about Canterbury and just sort of the ethnic makeup of our town that was on the town website. I was like, oh, well, you know, like 99% white people. And you know, my wife and I are like, okay, we're going to have to get used to that, you know. But we enrolled our kids in basketball, and I was like noticing the kids that play on the team, and like more than half of the kids on my son's team had at least one parent who was not white. I said to myself, muy interesante, very interesting, that's cool, how about that, you know? And you know, like the only reason I put my kid in basketball is so I can invite their parents to church. and I'm like going up to these people and they're like, oh no, here comes the pastor again. He's going to talk to me about VBS again. He's going to talk to me about Sunday school. But I'm inviting them. And I know that your heart is, when they show up to Calvary Chapel, they're not going to look around and be like, this isn't the church for me. I'm driving to Norwich. I'm driving to Willimantic. They're not going to, that's not your heart. Your heart is that we'll hear each other and listen to each other and be able to speak to each other where everybody feels welcome. And so that's why. And I'm going to be honest with you, we got some work to do on this. We do. We got, as Calvary Chapel, we got some work to do on this, and that's why we need to hear this text. And so the text is Galatians 5, 13 to 16. And before I read the text, let me tell you the solution that the world has to this issue of how when we talk to each other about race and ethnicity, we often are really sensitive and sometimes offend each other. What's the world's solution to this problem? What's the solution that you have in your school or in your workplace? The solution is political correctness, right? That's the world's solution. That there are rules about what you can say and about what you cannot say. There's certain things, certain words you can use, and certain words you better not use. Certain things you can talk about, and other things you better not talk about. And certain things you can talk about if you're this color, and other things you can talk about if you better not talk about if you're that color. You know what I'm saying? And the rule, and you got to figure out all the rules. And sometimes it feels like you got to have a graduate degree in this stuff to figure it out. But that's the world's solution is political correctness. Rules for what you say, and I understand why that's that way. But let's see what the Apostle Paul's solution is for the churches that he's writing to. What's the solution for the church, not just the world? What's the solution for the church? So let me read the text. Galatians 5:13. For you are called to be free, brothers and sisters. Only don't use this freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but serve one another through love. That's the solution right there. Love, okay? For the whole law is fulfilled in one statement, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. I say then, walk by the Spirit, and you will certainly not carry out the desires of the flesh. This is God's word. So there, one of the aspects, one of the back, the, a big element of the background of the of Paul's letter to the Galatians was there was a problem in the Galatian church. And as I've gone through, as I've taught through the book of Galatians, we've mentioned it, but maybe I haven't drawn out enough of what that is. There was an issue of racism in the church in Galatia, in the churches in Galatia. Racism. That was an issue in the church. And this was how it was. It was there, you had Jewish people and Gentile people in the same church together. And they looked down their noses at each other. And there was some cultural and ethnic superiority attitudes, you know, one ethnicity towards another. And especially in these churches, the Jewish Christians said, those Gentile Christians are pagans, they're dirty, they're far from God, culturally far from God, and they need to become like us, right? They need to eat kosher, they need to be circumcised, they need to keep the Sabbath, they need to keep the law, they need to become like us culturally, ethnically. They need to assimilate to us, become like us. It's not enough just to trust in Jesus. You have to trust in Jesus and keep the law. But I'm under that whole idea of keeping the law, there was a racial thing going on, an ethnic, a discrimination thing going on too. That was one part of it. There is prejudice in there. And some of what happened was that when the Gentile Christians would eat supper, the Jewish Christians started to say, we can't eat with you anymore. We can't have dinner with you anymore because the food you eat is dirty. It's going to make me ritually unclean, so I can't worship God. And I'm going to separate myself from you. You actually need to become like me and eat kosher like I do. I'm not... There's a story that we talked about a few weeks ago where the Apostle Peter goes to the church and he used to hang out with Gentiles and eat whatever, ham sandwiches. And then he starts listening to these Jewish Christians in the church and he's like, oh, well, I can't do that anymore. I've got to separate from them. And so he withdraws from fellowship and Paul calls him out. What's really interesting, what he says to him, what Paul could have said was, you broke the racism rule, the no racism rule, Peter. That's not right. But you know what he says? He says something else. This is chapter 2, verse 14. But when I saw that they were deviating from the truth of the gospel, I called them out. He doesn't say to Peter, you're breaking the no racism rule. What he says is, you're deviating from the truth of the gospel. You're not in line with the gospel of Jesus. And the whole idea of it is that Jesus came to reconcile people. And before Jesus, doesn't matter who you are, you're all the same before him. You're all sinners in need of grace. All of us are sinners in need of grace. And we're all saved the same way. Not by keeping the law. We're all saved by grace through faith. And so that levels the playing field and that allows us to be to reconcile to one another. And the gospel doesn't demand cultural conformity. Like what could have happened in this church is they could have had a church split and said, okay, we're going to have the Jewish church and we're going to have the Gentile church. But Paul didn't want that. The other thing that could have happened is all of the Gentile people would have had to assimilate and become exactly Jewish, culturally Jewish, and Paul didn't want that either. What Paul wanted is there to be diversity in the church, cultural diversity, ethnic diversity, but still unity in Jesus and love, you know? And so if that's not happening, you're out of line with the gospel, he says. And then in the chapter that I read just now, the law, first let me read this one part, verse 15. It talks about the word, I think this is dealing with the words that the people in the church are using to talk to each other. Verse 15, chapter 5, verse 15. If you bite and devour one another, watch out, or you will be consumed by one another. So there's a potential for our words that we use to hurt each other. And because I don't think they were literally biting each other, I'd be very surprised. I think he's talking about their words and their actions towards each other that were so hurtful that people would feel devoured and destroyed and consumed, right? And he says, if this keeps up, this church is going to fall apart. You're going to destroy each other. You're going to devour each other. And so there's the solution then is, as he said, love one another. The solution is love. Love your neighbor as yourself. I said that the solution in the world is political correctness. You can think of that as the law, okay? Political correctness is a law. But under grace, there's just one law, and it's love, right? In some ways, that's a lot easier to remember, isn't it? Because with political correctness, you got to remember all the rules. You can't say this word, you can't say that word. You've got to avoid this theme, you've got to avoid that theme. You can talk about it this way if you're this color, but you can't if you're that color. And you know, it's like there's all these rules, and sometimes they shift and change. How do you figure this out? It's confusing. And the law of love, it seems a lot simpler, doesn't it? There's just one law. You got to love each other. It's a lot easier to figure out. In another way, the law of love is harder. It's a higher standard than political correctness. Because political correctness just deals with what you say. The law of love deals with your heart, right? What we're called to is not just like filter our mouths. We're called to have our hearts changed in our attitudes towards each other. Like sometimes, you know, I hear people talking and I'm just like, why can't they put a filter between their brain and their mouth? You know? But it's not just about changing your words. The love means your heart is changed and you have your attitudes towards each other are changed so that you care for them and you want what's best for them. You don't see yourself as superior or inferior. You see yourselves as brothers and sisters, part of the same family, equal before Jesus, sinners who need grace. I'm just the same as you. My attitude towards you is not that I'm scared of you and I have to protect myself from you. It's not that. My attitude towards you is not, you better be like me, you better conform to me culturally and learn to speak the way I speak. It's not that. My attitude towards you is, how can I serve you? How can I build you up? How can I serve you with my words? And another aspect of this, the law of love, is that love covers a multitude of sins. So there's been plenty of times when I, as your pastor, even from the pulpit and in conversations, like I've said a lot of dumb things to you. Offensive things, insensitive things, you know, annoying things. I've said a lot of stupid stuff. My son is going to, if he's here, he's going to call me out for saying stupid in church because he says that's the S word. So I'm sorry about that. I've said a lot of insensitive things. Excuse my French. But I think your love for me covers that sin because you love me, you know? And so you forgive me. And I really appreciate it. And also, you know I love you. And so my love for you somehow covers my sins. So your love for me covers my sins. My love for you covers my sins. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. And so we can show each other grace and forgive each other. Okay, so now what I want to talk about is just in a real practical way, if the law is the law of love, how does that affect how we talk to each other, the words that we use, and the way that we listen to each other? How does it affect that? And in a second, I'll talk about the theology behind it. So I'm kind of getting ahead of myself. I'm going to give you the application first, and then I'll give you the theology in a minute. But if we're going to speak to each other in love, when we speak, we need not just to consider what we intend to say, but also how people hear it. You got to think about not just the message that I'm trying to communicate and the right way for me to say it to get my point across. I also have to think about how do the people that are listening to me hear what I'm receiving and how does it make them feel when they hear what I'm saying? You got to put yourself in the mind and in the heart and in the shoes of the people that you're talking to and think about how they receive the message that you're trying to say. And I think a lot of times we say things and we don't intend to be offensive. And we're sometimes surprised that people are offended. But the part of what we need to do to overcome that is spend enough time listening to people who have different experiences and backgrounds as us to understand what is it that offends them. You know, and when we speak, to figure out how do they receive it and how do they hear it. As you notice by looking at me, I'm a pretty vanilla white person. But I spent 3 years in Argentina teaching in a school, the 3 years right before I met Zuleika. And it was cross-cultural situation, right, where I was in a lot of settings. I was the only white person, and I've learned that culture and in some ways learned how to cross some bridges and navigate that culture and get along with people and thought about how they understood me and I learned to understand them. I mean, not perfectly, but made some headway there after 3 years. Learned the language. And then I met Zuleika, and, you know, a person of color from New York City, and I'm from Arkansas, and all of her friends, or most of her friends, were people of color, and I'm put in these, and her family. It wasn't so much an issue with the family, because they accepted me like another son right from the beginning, but with her friends, like, I had to figure out how to navigate those friendships with people of color, because most of her friends were, and I wasn't used to that environment so much. I mean, a little bit, but not a lot. But I kind of assumed that because I had this cross-cultural experience, it would be easy. But it wasn't easy, and it's still not easy. And just because you learn to navigate one cross-cultural situation doesn't mean that you've got to figure out that you can do all of them. You know, you've got to learn to listen in all the different situations. It helps, but it doesn't solve the issue. And I said a bunch of offensive things, I'm sure, some of them that they told me about and some of them they didn't, but just I guess what I want to communicate to us in Calvary Chapel is when we talk about race and ethnicity in America, and if you're like me, if you don't have a lot of experience with that, you need to consider the perspective of people of color in this country, right? And there is a long history. We got to know more about the history. Like, I don't know, like, I didn't grow up here, so I don't know what they teach about Prudence Crandall in the school to the kids. I mean, isn't it beautiful that there was somebody here who had a school for black girls? And isn't that wonderful? But then when you learn more about the history, isn't it awful that they booted her out of town? Like, the more you learn about the history, the uglier it is, right? And it's like that of a lot of our history. So we got to learn more about the history and learn about how ugly it is. And we think, like, for me, like, I see that history, and it's very academic. It's very theoretical. But for a person of color in this country, that's not academic. It's not theoretical. It's personal, right? It's like, you're talking about me. You're talking about my people. You're talking about my family. You're talking about my grandparents. And the what I realized as I've, and I'm learning still, as I got to know Zuleika's friends, is the experience of people in color, of people of color in this country are in a lot of ways very different from my experience. And a lot of the things that we're talking about are very personal. And so when you talk about these things, you got to choose your words very carefully. It's a little bit like me talking about sex in church. Whoa, I got your attention now. Like, you know, sex is beautiful. And it's in the Bible, and sometimes the pastor got to talk about it, right? But when I speak about this in church especially, one thing I have to remember is there are children in here, and there are mothers of children who are listening, and fathers that could come after me. And there are people in here who have been sexually assaulted. There are people in here who have been sexually abused. There have been people in here whose sexual experience has been hurtful. You know, and we all live in a world where sex and love no longer gel. I just quoted Elton John. You're going to be like home at lunch today. Did the pastor quote Elton John at Calvary Chapel? I guess. Sex and love no longer gel. And so we're sexually broken, all of us. We live in that world. And so it's a sensitive issue. And because that's one aspect of who we are, one aspect of our identity, you hear a lot of people talk about sexual identity. And it's true that we should not base our identity just on our sexuality. However, it is part of who we are. It's very close to our hearts, right? And so when I talk about that, I have to be very sensitive about the words that I use. And I better not talk about body parts, and I better not talk about mechanics, you know? I got to be careful. And it's similar when you talk about race and ethnicity, because it's somebody's identity that you're talking about. It's who they are. And their experience, for a lot of people, not everybody, but for a lot of people, that you deal with large and small occurrences of discrimination every single day, you know. And so you're sensitive and you put walls up. And if you're going to speak to somebody like that, you have to be careful and sensitive. Okay, so there's that element of how you talk. And then there's also the element of how we listen to each other. And when we listen to each other speak about these things, how do we listen with love? We don't just hear through the lens of how we feel and you know, how what we think they're saying and our first impressions. We also have to listen. We have to consider what they really intended when they said what they said. What did they really mean? Let's think through it. And when we listen with that kind of love, and we extend grace, and love covers a multitude of sins, we're going to get somewhere, right? We're not going to go out of our way to be offended. You know, we're going to give each other the benefit of the doubt, and show some grace to each other. And I think if it's going both directions that way, like if when I'm speaking, I'm being very careful to think about how you hear it. And then when you're listening, you're being very careful to think about what I really mean. That's going to help a lot. Besides the fact that we're in the family together, and we love each other as brothers and sisters and moms and dads and cousins and such. Like a lot of times when people talk about these things, what's the first reaction? You're talking about my family. You're talking about somebody in my family. That makes me mad. Well, we're all in the same family, right? We're all in the same family. So the person who's speaking is your brother or your sister in Christ. And so we gotta extend that kind of grace. Okay, so I talked about the kind of practical things about how we talk to each other. Now I want to talk about the theology behind that really quickly. And as Christians, as believers in Christ, we have resources that the world doesn't have for dealing with this issue. We've got resources. We've got God, right? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, right? It's not God so loved Jewish people in Israel that he gave his one and only son. No. God so loved the world. His blood atoned for every race and sprinkles now the throne of grace. You know, Jesus came for people, all people. Doesn't matter who you are. God's love is for everybody. There's an equal playing field before God. And Jesus, just think about the incarnation. Jesus is the eternal Son of God in heaven. And then he comes and he becomes like us, right? He enters our culture. He learns our language. He speaks to us in ways that we can understand. He goes out of his way to speak to us so we can get it, right? Jesus becomes, he enters into our world. He doesn't say, you become like me, because if he said that, we could never get to him, right? He became like us. Isn't that a beautiful example? And isn't that beautiful? Isn't that going to change your heart so that you can do that for somebody else, become like them and speak their language? And look at the passage again in verse 16. He said, one of the solutions to this problem is walk by the Spirit. And when he says walk by the Spirit, who's he talking about? He's talking about the Holy Spirit. That if we're believers in Christ, we need to walk by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give us power to love our neighbors as ourselves, to love us as Jesus has loved us. The Holy Spirit gives us power to do that. Think about the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came down on the Christians. There were a group of Christians huddled in a room together, scared of what people could do to them. And the Holy Spirit came down on them, and they had supernatural courage. And they went out in the street, and in the street there were people from lots of different countries visiting Jerusalem. People from lots of different places. You know, people from Arabia, people from Africa, people from Europe, all there in Jerusalem. And the Holy Spirit supernaturally empowers the Christians to speak in the languages of all those people. Isn't that amazing? The Holy Spirit empowered them to speak in a way that they could understand. The Holy Spirit could have, because he's God, if he wanted to, he could have made all the people from the other countries speak Aramaic. He could have done that, or understand Aramaic, so that everybody conformed and everybody understood that way. But that's not how he did it. What the Holy Spirit did is empowered the Christians to enter into the cultures and languages of the other people, to become like them and speak like them. Isn't that beautiful? There's this, when I drop my dad off at the place where he lives across the street, there's a bumper sticker on this guy's truck. I see it every time I drop my dad off. It says, "Welcome to America. We speak English. Learn it or leave." Every time I see it, I laugh. And I think of snarky comebacks. And, you know, whatever. Like, that dude he's viewing the world through a certain political lens, and you can agree or disagree with the politics of it. Let's set that aside. and just say this. Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit did not have that attitude towards you? You know? Aren't you glad the Holy Spirit empowered people to speak your language? Anybody here grow up speaking Aramaic in Israel? You know, that's none of us. And so the Holy Spirit's attitude towards us is, I'm going to empower people to learn your culture and learn your language and learn how you think and present the true gospel, the one true gospel that never changes, in terms that you can get it and you can understand it, so that you can have it, so that you can believe. In that, the Holy Spirit helps us to cross over the differences, to enter into the world of the other people. What could have happened in the churches of Galatia? There could have been a church split where every group went their own way and had their own little fellowship. Or there could have been a conformity where everybody had to assimilate to the majority culture. It could have been that way. But to be in line with the gospel, we can be culturally, ethnically different from each other and still get along because of love, because we love each other, because Jesus loved us first, and we're loving each other the way he loved us. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are grateful to you for your love and your grace, and I pray that you would help us in these things. Help us to show each other grace. Help us to learn to love the way you've loved us. And I just ask for your help. Thank you for the grace that you've shown us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.